when it comes to understanding Foxconn and the company's plans to set up shop here in Wisconsin, it can be confusing to say the least. There are multiple countries involved with complicated histories and some powerful business and political leaders, all with their own interests. Our next guest is here to break down the major players involved and the geopolitics behind it all. Willie Shee is a professor of management practice at Harvard Business School. His recent piece for WisContext is headlined Foxconn, Terry Goh, Donald Trump, Taiwan, and China. It's really complicated. Willie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. I'm glad to join you.
Well, it's a complicated web. Let's start with the relationship between Taiwan and China, adversaries in some ways, incredibly close business partners in others. Untangle that for us.
Well, it is very complicated. You know, there's a long history of Taiwan and China. Of course, Taiwan was where the Kuomintang retreated when they lost control of the mainland to the Chinese Communist Party, right? So the mainland government views Taiwan as a rebellious province, and I think most of the people in Taiwan would take issue with that, right? So you have that historical context. Now, the next thing that is interesting, to me anyways, is you have to remember much of Taiwan, when the Kuomintang moved to Taiwan, they brought a lot of the mainland culture, right? So when China opened up in the 1990s, it was Taiwanese companies that actually took the lead in really industrialization and development of China. They introduced a lot of this model of this huge campus with tens of thousands of people doing manual assembly work. And it was companies like Foxconn and others from Taiwan that really led this charge into Chinese manufacturing, especially for the electronics industry. So they leverage that kind of common cultural heritage, common language, understanding of, how to do business in China. So that makes it a very complicated picture.
And introduce us to this character who spent some time now in Wisconsin, Terry Goh, chair and president of Foxconn, running for normal kind of president of Taiwan, but a revered figure in some ways in communist China, if we want to still call it communist China, mainland China, I should say. Tell us how he fits in on both sides of that equation.
Well, Terry Goh is the founder of Foxconn, which was a very small company initially, but he and Foxconn were one of the pioneers in this model of building these large factory complexes in China. Now, initially, they manufactured a lot of different electronic products for people. Okay, but their growth really got supercharged when they managed to start doing some business with Apple, right? So Foxconn grew dramatically with Apple, in particular with the growth of the iPhone, because for many years, Foxconn was the exclusive assembler of iPhones for Apple. And so what you found is that as the iPhone grew, Foxconn grew as well. In fact, they set up enormous campuses with hundreds of thousands of people. And Foxconn soon became the largest private employer in China. So imagine that now. You have Terry Goh, Taiwanese entrepreneur, Taiwan-based company, largest employer in China. And if you're the largest employer in China, that makes you pretty important not only to the local governments where you operate, but also to the Chinese Communist Party.
We've got Taiwan. We've got China. Okay, why would Foxconn want to open a big factory here in Wisconsin?
Well, this is where it really gets complicated. Okay, and, after Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, Terry Goh was actually one of the first foreign business leaders to meet with him. Okay, and Foxconn is relatively high profile because of their relationship supplying Apple, right? And, we've seen it in the press. Donald Trump recommended to Terry Goh that you should put a factory in Wisconsin, right? And that led to this big project down in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, that initially was supposed to be a big factory for making these LCD flat panel displays, right? So all of a sudden, you have this, we're going to bring jobs back to America, Terry Guo being on the front lines of that. Now, that was really before the trade war heated up as it has in the last few weeks and last few months. Okay, so that's been really quite a dynamic and interesting situation on its own rights.
And something people here in Wisconsin are watching is, what is this factory actually going to make? It was one kind of flat screen, then a smaller screen. Now, just this week, we're hearing from the company, maybe it's not screens at all. It's servers, car parts, that kind of thing. So what?
Well, that's one of those evolving stories, as you say. Okay, when Foxconn first committed to putting the factory there, the original vision was to build what was called a Generation 10.5 or Gen 10.5 LCD factory. And this would be one of these factories that makes very large screen TVs. In fact, Gen 10.5 is the largest size glass that you can make a TV on. That's equivalent to making six 75-inch TVs at a time on one giant piece of glass, which you then cut into separate pieces. Now, that was the original vision that they sold to the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, the state of Wisconsin looks at it and it's like, well, there aren't a lot of these factories in the world, right? There are less than a dozen of them. There's some in Japan. There's some in China. There's some in Korea. But there aren't that many, right? So the original promise is, well, we're going to bring high-tech manufacturing to Wisconsin. But it turns out that, you know, the state gave Foxconn a heavy subsidy to build this factory, but the state didn't give Foxconn suppliers subsidies to build their factories, which you need to feed this LCD factory. So Foxconn has been scaling back its ambitions because if it didn't have a glass supplier across the street, which would be somebody like Corning, then they can't build a factory there because it's not practical to ship some of the raw materials. So they've been shifting, and there's been a lot of debate on what's actually going to go in there. If you look at the most recent plan filings, it looks like they're going to do some kind of electronic assembly. They're going to build a large building. They're making progress on that. And, you know, that actually happens to fit in very well with the current state of this trade war, right? Because especially in the last few weeks, what you've seen is many companies saying, oh boy, I can't manufacture in China anymore. I have to go somewhere else. And that somewhere else is largely going to be Vietnam, Malaysia. Maybe some will go to Indonesia. Some will go to the Philippines. I think a lot will go to Mexico. Okay, but now you have this building in Mount Pleasant that isn't going to be a Gen 10.5 factory anymore. Okay, it's going to be electronic assembly. And, you know, so if they're talking about car parts or, you know, maybe TV sets or medical equipment or something like that, that would all make sense. Okay, I would be fairly confident that wasn't their vision when they announced this project, but you know, as the winds change, you know, they're kind of adjusting that vision and trying to fit it into something that they can sell to the local population.
Talking to Willie Shih from Harvard Business School about Foxconn and where it fits in the world, not just in Wisconsin. I want to bring up a concept you introduced in your WisConText piece, something from Chinese politics and economy, a state visit project. What is that?
Right. Well, and this happens in China a lot. Okay, what happens is all the big guys, cook up some deal like, oh, we should put a factory here, right? And there's all this prestige and so on. So then they stage a big announcement and, you know, a ribbon cutting and, you know, they'll have the gold-plated shovels, you know, shovel the first scoop of dirt and so on like that. And this happens all the time. There's the big announcement. Okay, but then what actually gets delivered may or may not match that, right? But the announcement is there for political reasons, right? Because one or both sides see some political benefits associated with that. And it's also a way of getting both sides to commit to doing something. Okay, now in China, what happens is a lot of those projects don't pan out. They never turn into something. a lot of them turn into something that was quite different from what was announced. And that's kind of an accepted part of the practice. That's not how we play the game in the United States, right? It's like, wait a minute, I thought we signed an agreement on this, and I thought I was going to give you all this subsidy, right? So there's kind of a cultural mismatch in that. But these state visit projects are when, you know, think of it as when the big guys get together, they announce this big deal, you get the big publicity splash, and then everybody goes on and figures out, what are we really going to do here?
Willie, in just our last minute, what happens if Terry Goh of Foxconn becomes Terry Goh, president of Taiwan?
Well, that's what makes this really complicated, because Terry has to leave Foxconn if he's going to run for public office, okay? And now the question is, what does the management team that he leaves behind do about, A, the trade war, B, this facility in Wisconsin, and a host of other things that they're faced with, like this declining demand from Apple for iPhones, and they were also a large supplier for Huawei, right? So there are a lot of pieces of this puzzle that have yet to be assembled, except Terry Goh ends up having a very different piece of it.
Willie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Willie Shi is a professor of management practice at Harvard Business School. You can read more about the complicated Foxconn story. Willie's recent piece at WisConText is Foxconn, Terry Goh, Donald Trump, Taiwan, and China. It's really complicated. Find that at wiscontext.org.